connection. So we're going to be in the scriptures today. If you want to be in the book of Luke with me, that's where we're going to go. Today we conclude our series, God's Kingdom Over My Castle. God's Kingdom Over My Castle. And I've been so grateful for what we've been experiencing in this conversation. And I just want you to know the theme of today is compassion. It's compassion. And I've got a video I want you to see. It's like 20 seconds. This is going to help move us from an incredible time of worship, a wonderful time of communion and prayer, to begin to draw our hearts, as Pastor Joseph was saying, in unity. And so check out this video. Today is one of those talks that's been building in my heart for years. It was almost 4 years ago that I had my first conversation with Compassion International and began to get to know them as a kingdom partner. As I heard more and more of Compassion's vision to release children from poverty in Jesus' name, and as we at that same time were committing as a local church to our Next Now vision, to see resources poured into every generation that every kid and student might know the love of Jesus, I began to watch God draw us to this moment of kingdom intersection. Over the last stretch of weeks, we've been talking about how we can seek first the kingdom of God and watch God give everything we need. He's been speaking to our hearts and our minds for our lives, that where his kingdom rule and reign begins to have authority over our castles, he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. My Father is pleased to give you his kingdom." And as I've been hearing the story and getting to know Compassion, what I know is that Compassion as a global ministry aligns with our kingdom calling here at the Vineyard. There's alignment in our kingdom value to care for the poor. Because when we begin to say yes to God's kingdom over our castle, we no longer have resources limited to a single home, a single unit, a single life. But our life begins to be at the Lord's disposal. Our resources begin to be directed and guided by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. With Compassion, our local church aligns our kingdom value to proclaim Jesus among every tribe, tongue, language, and nation. With Compassion, our kingdom value to proclaim Jesus from generation to generation. It just captured my heart more and more and more. That we would be a people that don't just preach a message for you to have God's kingdom rule and reign over your castle, but we would be a people who say, "Let your kingdom reign and rule over this castle." That as a local body, that as a local church, it wouldn't just be about us and our resources for our own, but we'd be called into a better story to join the kingdom call of God. So as we conclude our message series, God's Kingdom Over My Castle, I want you to know this. We are a church yielding this castle to God's kingdom. Amen. I'm not simply asking you to yield your castle and your resources so this castle can get big. I'm committed to us yielding this castle to God's kingdom. Our leadership team, our staff, our volunteers, our heartbeat is that we would say, "God, use us. God, use us." Wherever we express our authority and our action here on earth, we're yielding our will and our way to the authority of Jesus. We're saying, "God, let your kingdom rule and reign happen here, happen in us, happen through us." Our call is clear. As we seek the kingdom of God, we will be a church that cares for the poor. We will be a church that cares for the poor. In Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, when you give to the needy. If y'all remember, this is from our sermon series a little while back. We were in Matthew 6 hanging out. He says, when you give to the needy. Not if you give to the needy. Not consider giving to the needy. And not pray about giving to the needy. Just pray about it. Nope. He says, when, which means we will. Because that's who Jesus is. And if we're following Jesus together, this is where we get to follow him in our actual life. But I've just got to be honest. I felt challenged over the last couple years of walking with Compassion and getting to know them. Because I had to ask myself this question. As I lead this local church, was I giving our church community real opportunities to care for the poor? Did I just say, like, God, we want to care for the poor? And it's good words and it's nice thoughts. Was I stewarding this castle under God's kingdom, rule and reign? And were we directing our resources to care for the poor, not in hidden ways, but in explicit ways where we say, you can take action in a very specific way and you can know you are caring for the poor? This is part of our discipleship to Jesus. This is how we follow Jesus together. And I've sat with that and I've held that before the Lord. And I want you to know today, with great joy, you're going to have a chance to know too, you are caring for the poor and you can give to the needy. You can take action because we will be a people who give to those in need. And today you will have an opportunity to respond and be fully in on this story as God's writing it. What this does is it anchors our lives in two really important things. The first is kingdom conviction, that we are rooted and established, we are anchored in the way of Jesus, and it's a conviction that holds steady in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, and it drives action. Kingdom conviction is always paired with kingdom action. You can't go like, I have a conviction to care for the poor and do nothing about it. Then you don't have the conviction. You have the convenience of a good thought. Today, I don't want us to have the convenience of good thoughts. I want us to have the conviction of strong kingdom action. This is the call of God. This is our time. Kingdom conviction and kingdom action allow us to know it's more than being religious. It's actually living the story of redemption. It's more than being a nice person. It's anchoring our lives in the good news of God, that there is a source for why I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's bigger than me. When we give to those in need, we're actively joining the God who is making all things right and helping make things right here on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody aware of a situation that is not right and you would love for it to be right and look like heaven? Yes, I'm aware of like 18 right now. That's like a made-up number. I actually don't know. I didn't actually count. See, it's not just simply believing in Jesus for my salvation, but it's living the life of Jesus in my actions for the salvation of others. It's not just being satisfied with like my own little castle being like eternally set. It's discovering God's heart for something so much better. In Luke 10, where we're going to be, Jesus is teaching and he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Maybe you're familiar with this particular story. Let me give you the summary. Compassion is not simply good thoughts and feelings. It is active response from the resources I have. Compassion is active response with the resources I have. That's what compassion is. Active response with the resources I have. And it turns out neighbors are defined by my loving action. Jesus defines neighbors through his followers acting in love. Let's go to Luke 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. This is what it says. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." If you want to know how to live the good life, it's right there. Do this, and you will live. But here comes the human condition. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor? Who must I include? What is the least I can do to fulfill that thing? What's the least required so I can justify myself through my own self-righteousness?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him." He had compassion. "He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." The neighbor's defined by the one who took merciful action. Jesus told him, let's read this together, "Go and do likewise." Go and do likewise. We can pontificate the idea and intent of this story. Was it literal and historical? Was there a real Samaritan who took the care of a real person who was robbed and beaten and took him to a real inn? Historical, factual, does that matter? Was it simply allegorical? Was it just a good story to prove a point, to teach a point, to share a kingdom principle? Did Jesus really intend for us to love across boundary lines and racial divide and ethnic division and maybe even resource discrepancies? And did he really want us to think about, well, who was that man? And did he deserve care? And what about those robbers? And if we leave it ideological, we have missed the point. Jesus is clear. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. See, care, bandage, provide out of the resource you have to meet the needs of those who need compassion. Go and do likewise. He did not say, "Ponder this and let me know what you think." He did not say, "When you feel like it, respond with compassion." He did not say, "And pray about it." He said, "Go and do likewise." Are we there? Are we all on the same page? We're hearing the words of Jesus today. If we're following Jesus together, I don't know how we work around this one. I think the invitation is into the kingdom, and with Jesus, we go and do awesome. Kingdom conviction and kingdom action. We will care for the poor with mercy and tangible resources. The last 2 weeks, we looked at Luke 12 and heard the words of Jesus speak to our trust. speak about our treasure, speak about our resources. Just like the Good Samaritan, we are called to be generous towards others with our resources. Whatever resources we have, you might go, hey, Kurt, sorry, dude, no donkey. I don't have a donkey. That's okay. Maybe you have something else that you can put in the story, right? Amen? With the real resources God has entrusted us, he's saying, join me, have mercy, be people of compassion. This is the way to live here on earth. I think y'all get the point. What I want y'all to know is today, this is our response. This is our call. This is our time. We are walking roads with people who have experienced the robbery and the destruction of life, and they are sitting on the side. And we can see them, and we can know the need, and we can meet the need. We will care for the poor. We will care for the poor, and when we do that, we can change the life of children today. Compassion International is a global ministry. And my story with Compassion has brought me close to understand that their single aim in the globe is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Compassion exists to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And as I have spent time with them, I have become so confident in the work they are doing around the globe that I want our church community to partner with them. I want us as followers of Jesus to hear the invitation and join them in releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. We share the same kingdom heart. We want to care for the poor. We want every child to know the love of God revealed in Jesus. What I want for every kid in that wing and every kid in that building over there who are in the room today, our heart for our own kids gets expanded to hearts for the kids around the globe who Jesus absolutely loves. It is good news. I love that Compassion is committed to being Christ-centered, and they're committed to working with the local church. Let me give you two examples to let you know Compassion a little bit more, and this is, I've been getting to know them. Here's what I find amazing about them. They proclaim Jesus. They had a consultant come talk to them a while back, and they're like, hey, we think you could raise more money and be more globally effective if you would just take Jesus out of your name. And they went, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We exist to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And here's the impact they're having around the globe. One child, on average, every 4 minutes is making a decision to follow Jesus through the ministry of Compassion. So far, since we've been worshiping together, we are at 25 more kids coming into home and life with Jesus Christ. Is that the right math? No, that's not right. 15, something, I don't know. I'm on the spot now. 15. Yeah, 15. That's 60. 4 times 15 is 60. There you go. Sorry, got excited. By the end of our service, when I'm done today, there will be more in the kingdom. I'll tell you that much right now. One child every 4 minutes. They're church-based. Everything Compassion does is with partnering in a local church with a local church with real pastors and real volunteers and real people serving in the name of Jesus where the kids are. And they work with us, the local church, to connect you, followers of Jesus, with young people who are learning to follow Jesus. Today, I want you to see the story of real life change, a modern-day story of the Good Samaritan that's unfolding through Compassion and their partnership with other followers of Jesus. Here is Esmirna's story.
Cuando era niña, when I was young, my father abandoned our family.
Porque más nadie lo va a hacer.
Okay. He said he needed to leave for work. My mother alone couldn't afford to keep us in our home. And we were forced to move to the poorest neighborhood in Santo Domingo.
Hola.
It was dangerous. We had no money. We didn't know where our next meal would come from. My father had abandoned us, and I began to believe that I wasn't worth coming back for. By the grace of God, my mother signed me up for the Compassion Project at our church where she worked. But I thought maybe I had no right to be happy. I could see no hope for my future. As days went by, I noticed that all my friends had what was called a sponsor, who they wrote letters back and forth with and sometimes received gifts. On Mondays, when we met at the project, the leaders would call out the names of the children who had either gotten a letter from their sponsor or news that a sponsor had picked them. Samuel. I wanted so badly to have a sponsor of my own. Every Monday, I wanted to hear my name called. But just like hoping my father would come back, it just wasn't going to happen. Or maybe I didn't deserve a sponsor. Then,
Smyrna.
God found me a sponsor. Christy and John Strawbridge from North Carolina. They said they were going to love me like grandparents. I couldn't believe it. I loved it at the project. I received food. It was a safe place to play with my friends. They paid for our medical care. At the project, I was taught that God was my heavenly father. And I learned how to forgive my earthly father. I accepted Christ. I finished school. The Strawbridges were there with me through it all. God used them to call me by name. Today, you have the opportunity to do what the Strawbridges did for me. When you sponsor a child, you provide food, medical care, school, and the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus.
Give a child in poverty the chance to say, God called me by name. Please sponsor a child with compassion today.
Today we can take the truth of Jesus revealed in the scripture and make it true for someone today. We have a part to play. We can go and do likewise. Through the partnership with Compassion for $43 a month, you can be paired in a one-to-one partnership with a child, food, school, medical care, community, love, and spiritual needs being met day in and day out, month in and month out. We as a community are giving beyond ourselves to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. This is how we live our lives aligned with Jesus. We hear him say, when you give to those in need. And it's an opportunity for us to practice generosity. Not a single dollar comes to or through our church. This is beyond giving to the local church. This is beyond a tithe. This is saying we as a local community will partner up and meet the real needs because we trust in the biblical mandate to help the poor and to give as God gave to us. Today, the call to action is to choose a child to sponsor. We have volunteers in our lobby right now at a station, and we have hundreds of children that need a sponsor. Our family is in. Our family is in. And all I know is we can do this because it's God's heart. When you pick up a packet and prayerfully discern, wait, no, we don't have to prayerfully discern. The scriptures have spoken. We can go and do likewise. When you pick up that packet, it will be one-to-one sponsorship. You'll be the only sponsor. You can write to them, pray for them, share the gospel with them, support them, and pray for them. Did I say that? We are following Jesus together. We will go and do likewise. Our compassion sponsor station is in the lobby. They'll be patient. They'll take time. And here's what you can do. You can sponsor as an individual. You can sponsor as a family unit. You can sponsor as a group. Our volunteers are ready, and we want everyone to stop by the compassion display in the lobby. Today, we are releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name.